What has a shell can survive for a whole year without eating or drinking and can live for over 150 years? We're going to let you know about it, and we'll reveal the answer on this morning's episode of Wake Up with Hope.
Plus, Pastor Taj Pakleb shares spiritual lessons as he takes us on a video journey to the Galapagos Islands. We'll also have music and a devotional thought from Faith for Today. Come along with us.
Good morning. It's a joyful morning here on Wake Up with Hope. We're so thankful that you woke up with us.
We're excited to be here, friends. And you know, it's our desire today that our program will multiply the joy that you have in Jesus and help you to share it with others.
On today's program, Pastor Taj Pakleb takes us on a video journey through the Galapagos Islands as he discovers the secret to longevity and outlasting the elements of the unstable world that we live in.
We'll also have music and a powerful devotional from Faith for Today.
But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1802, the United States Military Academy, the first military school in the United States, was founded by Congress to educate and train young men and later women. Located at West Point, New York, West Point is known as being a very selective institution, like many Ivy League schools. Now, these schools have such a selective admissions process because they recruit students who adhere to their principles and solidify their status as they graduate and go into the world.
You know, isn't it wonderful to know that even if you've never been permitted into certain establishments, that there's a God in heaven that waits for you with open arms? He's not interested in your past or how much you're going to work for him in the future. All he's interested is in your heart. He is the one that will elevate you and bring you into the heavenly standard. Friends, have you reached out yet? When you make the decision to follow Jesus, his acceptance rate is 100%.
Amen. That is an amazing thought right there. I'm so glad Jesus accepts us just the way we are. What has a shell can survive for a whole year without eating or drinking and can live for over 150 years? If you guess the ancient saddleback of the Galapagos, you're correct. The ancient saddleback is one of the rarest creatures on Earth and one we can learn so much from. Pastor Taj Pakleb takes us on a video adventure now to the Galapagos as he takes a closer look at this incredible creature.
Someone once said, "Nature does not hurry, and yet everything is accomplished." Never have I really seen the reality of this truth until I had the chance to visit a place that's far off the beaten path. A region of our world that's hard to get to and even harder to leave. An inspiring land that has gripped the imagination of thousands ever since its first visitor set foot on shore. A world of wonder, an island of intrigue. The first recorded visit to this enchanted place happened by chance in 1535. It was the Bishop of Panama who stepped foot on this undiscovered land after accidentally finding it on his voyage to Peru. The bishop was amazed to see the rich diversity of this untouched domain. He was entertained by birds with bright blue feet bobbing up and down in their clumsy courtship dance. He was intrigued by the swimming and sunbathing iguanas laying on the sharp black lava rocks. The white sandy beaches were filled with lazy sea lions basking without a care in the full strength of the noonday sun. He was surprised to see penguins, perfectly content living in this equatorial region. But of all the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and the beasts of the field, that which caught his attention the most were the giant tank-like tortoises, covered in their armored shells. To the bishop, the shells of these ancient reptiles looked like the Spanish Galapagos horse saddles of that era, so he named the tortoises Galapagos. Then when the Flemish mapmaker Abraham Ortelius published his world atlas in 1570, he referred to these islands as Los Galapagos, which means Islands of the Saddlebacks. And so has this land of wonder been called ever since. The tortoises that give this place their name are some of the rarest creatures on earth. Exploited for their meat and oil, the population of the Galapagos tortoise has been decimated from 250,000 in the 16th century to around only 3,000 in the 1970s. 5 out of the original 15 different species are already extinct. The remaining 10 are on the endangered list. Now federally protected, these ancient islanders live the easygoing, laid-back life. With no natural predators, they are free to come and go as they please. Consisting on mainly a plant-based diet, these gentle giants can grow up to 6 feet long and weigh up to a whopping 800 pounds. With a generous appetite, they can eat up to 80 pounds of food per day, and they can survive a whole year without eating or drinking anything. They are the longest living reptiles on Earth, with an average lifespan of over 150 years. They carry their home on their back, and they graze wherever the grass is greener, most of the time taking them up to the highlands, and even to the crest of the volcanoes. They're not afraid to venture to higher ground, if that's what it takes to survive. There are so many amazing characteristics of these grass-grazing gentle giants, many of which it will be well for us to emulate in our own lives. Characteristics that will improve longevity and enable us to outlast the elements. The Galapagos tortoise teaches us, be blessed and don't stress. Wherever you go, make yourself at home. Rest well and take long walks. Don't settle for the lowlands, but head to higher ground. But take it one step at a time. Be hard on the outside, but soft on the inside. Chew your food carefully, but stick to a plant-based diet. Save and store for times of want. Be flexible and adapt to your environment. And if you run out of sustenance, be patient and use what you got. Have no enemies. Be at peace with those around you. Remember, you may be slow, but you are rare and unique, and there is none that is quite like you. Live your life in such an impressive way that one day people will name an island after you. Many are the life lessons we learn from these majestic creatures. But of all the lessons, the one that sticks out to me the most is this. Many times, slow and steady is better than fast and gassed. Sometimes we live our lives in the fast lane, and we miss out on all the beautiful scenery around us. We invest our time and our energy trying to reach a specific destination, trying to attain a certain goal, and yet we fail to enjoy the journey. We fail to embrace the process of what it takes to get there. Human beings have a natural tendency to seek instant gratification without considering the long-term results. Many pour out their lives in trying to make a living, and yet they're not really living. We work hard to attain and accumulate, and yet we struggle to find genuine lasting peace and satisfaction. We are outwardly stimulated, and yet we're inwardly dissatisfied. Our bellies are full, and yet we're still hungry. And our discontent with what we got drains us of life, and it robs us of peace. And if we continue to live in this mindset, we will eventually run out of gas when it matters the most. Now don't get me wrong. There's nothing that takes the place of a good work ethic and a strong ambition of wanting to live a productive life. But the lesson we learn from these ancient saddlebacks is this. Slow and steady is better than fast and gas. So don't rush into things and don't procrastinate your goals. If you want to live long, you must first live strong. And if you want to outlast the elements, you have to take it one day at a time and one step at a time. So let us be like the ancient saddlebacks of Galapagos. May we be the rare and unique ones that people flock to see. May our modesty and simplicity be our strength and longevity. And if we do, perhaps one day someone will name an island after us. But until then, let's just keep heading to the highlands in faith. And by God's grace, I'll see you at the top.
If you want to share the hope of Jesus with others, share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And check out the YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We have to take a short break now, friends, but when we return, we will have music and a morning devotional from Faith for Today. Stay with us. Like a parent that sings to their child, God sings over you.
Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing."
Think about this marvelous wonder as you enjoy today's song.
Gift of love, left his glory and majesty to be light and to bring hope. Christ Messiah sent from heaven, Jesus God with us, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Almighty Savior, came into this world as one of us. Oh, Emmanuel, oh,
After this short break, we will have today's devotional thought by Faith for Today. Don't go anywhere. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
Even though his leg was in a pickling jar on the mantle, he could still feel it swelling and cramping and shooting pain up to his brain. The leg had been removed weeks ago, but the agony refused to go with it. His name was Mr. Barwick. He was the administrator of a medical school, so he should have known better. He had a serious circulation problem in his leg that gave him excruciating pain. As the discomfort grew, he began to torment his leg back. "I hate it," he would say to his leg. His doctor had recommended that he amputate the leg, but he had continually refused. Finally, the pain grew beyond what he could stand, so he agreed to have the surgery. Before the operation, however, Barwick asked his doctor a series of very strange questions. "What do you do with the legs after they're removed?" "Well, we may take a biopsy and explore them a bit, but afterwards we incinerate them," the doctor answered. "I would like you to preserve my leg in a pickling jar," Barwick announced. "I will install it on my mantel shelf. Then as I sit in my armchair, I will taunt that leg. Ha! You can't hurt me anymore." His doctor did as he asked, and Barwick placed that pickling jar up above his fireplace. Unfortunately, though, he suffered from a condition known as phantom limb pain. He had so much hatred for that leg that the pain had lodged itself permanently in his brain. The wound healed, but he could still feel the leg swelling and cramping as if it were still attached. This condition is not unique to Mr. Barwick. Many amputees experience the sensation of a phantom limb. They can still feel their fingers curl and grasp things. Their non-existent toes move. In fact, some feel so sturdy that they even try to stand on a leg that's no longer there. Phantom limb pain provides wonderful insight into the phenomenon of false guilt. We can become obsessed by the memory of some sin committed years ago. It never leaves us, crippling our ministry, our devotional life, our relationships with others. We live in fear that someone will discover our past. We work overtime trying to prove to God that we're sorry. We erect walls against the loving grace of God. Now, unless we experience the truth in 1 John 3, verse 20, which says, "Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything," we become as pitiful as poor Mr. Barwick, shaking his fist in fury at the pickled leg on the mantle. So what does the Bible say about forgiving yourself? Surprisingly, nothing. You can study God's word from cover to cover, but you will not find self-forgiveness mentioned anywhere. The Bible talks about vertical forgiveness, God forgiving a person, and horizontal forgiveness, one person forgiving another, but the Bible says nothing of the internal forgiveness, a person forgiving him or herself. Is simply not taught in Scripture. So then how do we amputate our feelings of guilt? This is what I found. A person who says, "I just can't forgive myself," may simply be saying that they really doubt that God has forgiven them. So they take over the job themselves. Here's the real danger to this approach. The person who says, "I just can't forgive myself," is acting as if they are sitting on the throne of judgment and declaring that they are their own judge. In this sense, the expression, "I just can't forgive myself," is the same as saying, "I'm in the role of judge, and I will hand out forgiveness as I decide." You've convened the court, prosecuted the case, and rendered a guilty verdict upon yourself. And now you believe that you must grant the needed pardon. But the Bible says that God alone can be both the judge and the forgiver, as well as the penalty bearer for those in Christ. This job description is extremely important. When you refuse to forgive yourself, you place your throne above Christ. Wasn't that Lucifer's first sin in heaven? Do you think you're wise enough to place your throne over God's too? Guilty baggage is the real problem. We've been carrying it around for years. Stuff we did in high school, the things we did as children, the things we did while we were immature in college, mistakes that we made years ago at work or in our relationships. It's still right here, and it's killing us. Listen to what God wants you to do. He says, I have put all your sins behind my back. God doesn't look in his rearview mirror and remind you of where you've been. He just wants to keep moving forward. He wants you to drop your guilty burdens and keep moving with him too. Our challenge comes because we don't believe that God would really just let it be like water under the bridge. We can't believe it because we can't do it. We can't let things go and people apologize to us. So why should God do the same for us? My favorite text on forgiveness is the one in which God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions and remembers your sins no more. Do you know what this means? God has chosen to have the worst memory in the universe. When he comes to you and asks you to do something and you say, well, I'd love to, but I'm really not worthy to do ministry. Remember the time when he says, what are you talking about? You never did that. Well, sure I did, you reply, and you try to remind him with all the juicy details. No, you didn't, God says, and holds up the book of deeds to prove it. It's completely blank. Not one spatter of ink can be found in the column of sins. The column of good deeds is filled page after page, but the other side is consistently unmarked. Then he opens up the Lamb's book of life and points to your name. See, he says, your name is right here. You are most worthy. Richard Hoffler's book, Will Daylight Come, contains a wonderful story about letting forgiveness have its place. A little boy visiting his grandparents is given his very first slingshot. He goes out into the woods to practice, but he could never hit anything that he aimed at. He gave up and began walking back toward the house. In the backyard, he noticed his grandma's pet duck. Without concern, he shot a stone at it. And wouldn't you know it, the stone hit and the duck fell dead. He panicked. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister watching. Sally watched it all, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma asked Sally to wash the dishes. But Sally said, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny? And she leaned over and whispered to him, remember the duck. So Johnny got up and did the dishes. Later, Grandpa came in and asked if they wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper. Sally smiled confidently and said, oh, that's all taken care of. Johnny told me that he wanted to do it. Again, she whispered, remember the duck. Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of doing both his chores and Sally's, Johnny finally couldn't take it any longer. He confessed to Grandma and told her now that he had killed her duck. I know, Johnny, she said, giving him a hug. I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I already forgave you. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you. So what are you waiting for? Let God forgive you now, once and for all the things that you've already asked him for forgiveness, and experience the freedom and hope that it can bring to you today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy.
And thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you would like to learn more about us or share us with friends, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at the same time. Ronnie Mills will be with us and we will have a moving devotional and much more. You don't want to miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. Friends, spend time there today.
Amen. And before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. It says, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. That's in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5.
The love of God is so powerful that he willingly suffered for us. Spend some time this morning contemplating this thought. Jesus was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. Friend, today is the day to be ever grateful for the worthy sacrifice made on your behalf. Come to Jesus and be made whole. Come to Jesus and be healed. He has already paved the way. All that remains is for you to accept and believe. Won't you follow him today?
Amen. You know, we've enjoyed our time together and we can't wait to see you tomorrow. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, our hearts are truly moved by such an amazing, selfless love that you went all out. You went as far as you could. You did everything you could possibly do to be able to redeem us. And today, Lord, as we contemplate the cross, as we remember the sacrifice that you paid on our behalf, may our hearts be filled with the greatest kind of hope, an eternal hope that will carry us through until the very day when we see you face to face. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.